Practice Test 3. Listening. Part 2. In this part of the test, you will hear 4 short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions about it. Before each talk begins, you will have time to preview the questions that are printed in the test booklet. Read the questions silently. Then listen to the talk. You can take notes in the booklet. Then listen to each question and choose the best answer from the answer choices. Mark your answers. You should mark A, B, C, or D. There are a total of 20 questions about the 4 short talks. Look at the questions. Then listen to a radio report from a festival.
Hello, listeners. Today, on our local events guide, I'm reporting from the city of Lewiston, where if you look up at the sky right now, you'll see a beautiful sight. Dozens of hot air balloons floating in the sky. And in the background, you can see the impressive waterfalls that this area is well known for. Yes, I'm at the annual Great Falls Balloon Festival, and today is the first day of this weekend event. Great Falls is the largest balloon festival in the state. It was started over 15 years ago by a group of local residents. They wanted to set up an event to raise money for local charities, which would also bring tourists to the area. Well, with the festival attracting over 100,000 visitors each year, they certainly achieved their aim. Some people come simply to enjoy the spectacle, others to ride in a balloon themselves. The smaller ones carry 2 passengers, while the larger ones can take up to 10 at a time. But there's more to the festival than that. There's also live music and arts, crafts, and food stalls. Then there's the traditional parade tomorrow morning at 11, which shouldn't be missed. It follows a mile-long route through the streets of the city, and participants wear costumes to fit a theme. This year's theme is celebrating local farms, so my guess is most people will dress up as farm animals. Anyway, if you're in the Lewiston area this weekend, come and check out this unusual festival.
Number 31. Why does the speaker mention the waterfalls? Number 32. In what way did the local residents achieve their aim? Number 33. What does the speaker say about the hot air balloons at the festival? Number 34. What does the speaker say about the festival parade? Look at the questions. Then listen to a teacher giving some important information to students.
Good afternoon, class. Now, as you know, tomorrow we're going to have an earthquake drill. In other words, we will practice the safety procedures we need to follow if there's ever an earthquake while we're at school. Please don't be nervous, though. Earthquakes are rare in our area, but it's still wise to be prepared. Now, the first signs of an earthquake might be seeing objects shaking or lights swaying. There might also be a rumbling noise. If any of these things should happen, follow these three steps: drop, cover, and hold. In the classroom, that means 1. Drop to the ground. 2. Take cover under your desk. Most injuries in earthquakes are caused by falling objects or glass from windows breaking, so getting under something can protect you from that. Then, step 3. Hold on tightly to your desk in case it moves. So, when the alarm sounds, we'll all take cover under our desks and hold on. We'll stay in that position for about 2 minutes. When I say the word exit, we'll get into single file, one behind the other. We will then leave the building in an orderly manner. There is to be no running or pushing. As we get into line, I want each of you to check that the person who was sitting on either side of you is in the line. So you'll each be responsible for 2 classmates. That's how we check that everyone gets out safely. Now, it's a fairly simple drill, and I'm sure you'll all handle it very well. It could happen at any time during the school day tomorrow.
Number 35. Why is the teacher talking to the class? Number 36. According to the teacher, how can students know that an earthquake is coming? Number 37. Why does the teacher mention broken glass? Number 38. What does the teacher tell each child to do? Number 39. What does the teacher mean when he says,
"We will then leave the building in an orderly manner"?
Look at the questions. Then listen to a manager talking to the members of the staff.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming. I know some of you have concerns about the move next month to an open-plan office, so I thought it'd be a good idea to meet and discuss why we decided to make this change and what it will involve. Well, the main reason is economic. The country is going through hard times, and if we can find practical ways to cut costs, it means that hopefully we won't have to cut any staff. Open-plan office space costs less to rent, and it also means cheaper bills for lighting, heating, and air conditioning. You're all used to sharing a small room with one other person, so it will seem strange at first to be in a large, open, shared space. But you'll have the same desks, computers, and chairs as you had before. We also feel that everyone being on the same floor will make communication more efficient. It'll make it easier to track people down when you need them. When you need to speak to a colleague, you'll be able to see immediately who's at their desks and who isn't. So no more running up and down stairs between offices. However, it'll obviously make the environment a bit noisier. Phone conversations especially will be easily overheard. so we'll have to make an effort to keep noise levels down. If you need to make a call not related to work on your cell phone, for example, you should go outside the building. Another issue is security. Until now, you've been able to lock your office doors when you go home. Once the move is made, however, you'll need to lock valuables in a desk drawer.
Number 40. Why is the manager talking to members of the staff? Number 41. According to the manager, what is one advantage of open plan offices? Number 42. What is true of their current office? Number 43. What will members of the staff need to stop doing? Number 44. What does the manager mean when he says,
"It'll make it easier to track people down when you need them"?
Look at the questions. Then listen to a writer talking to a group of students.
People often ask me where I get ideas for my stories. Well, they usually have their roots in something that happened in real life. For example, 4 years ago, my daughter Gabriella came home from school really upset. There was going to be a running competition for sixth graders in the city. Each school could send one girl and one boy. There had been a race that day at school to see who'd go to represent the school. Gabriella, who'd always been very athletic, was sure she would win, but she came in second to a girl called Rana. Rana hadn't been at the school long. Her family had just moved to the U.S. from India, and she'd been having a hard time in school because her English wasn't very good. Even though my own daughter was disappointed, I have to admit that I was happy for Rana because I knew what winning must mean to her. At the time, I was looking for an idea for my next book. I often get my best ideas when I'm falling asleep, so I always keep a notebook by my bed. That night, I was almost asleep when it came to me. I turned on the light and began to scribble furiously. Those notes were the beginning of my book Sneakers, which is about a young girl, Aisha, from a poor Indian village. Aisha can run faster than any of the village girls and dreams of competing in the Olympics, but needs to work to help support her family. I guess if Gabriella had won the race, I would never have come up with the idea.
Number 45. Where does the writer usually get her ideas? Number 46. Why was Gabriella upset? Number 47. How did the writer feel about the result of the race? Number 48. When did the writer get the idea for sneakers? Number 49. What is her book Sneakers about? Number 50. What does the speaker mean when she says,
I turned on the light and began to scribble furiously?